Shalom. This is Dr. Moti Arad. I've been teaching Talmud to Shechter Israeli and overseas rabbinical students at the Shechter Rabbinical Seminar in Jerusalem and to students of the MA program at the Shechter Institute of Jewish Studies for the last 10 years. I've also been teaching Talmud for 3 years as a visiting assistant professor at JTS. Today, I will be addressing a delicate subject that in the Israel of 2012 still grabs newspaper headlines, eliciting a public debate, much as it did 1800 years ago, in the time of the Mishnah. Jewish-Gentile relations, is there a basis for discrimination against Gentiles in the Talmud? For anybody interested in receiving the sources for this lecture, I'll be happy to send them. Chodesh Tov is a monthly 10-minute podcast that is a joint venture of the Shechter Rabbinical School in Jerusalem, the Ziegler School of Rabbinic Studies in Los Angeles, the Jewish Theological Seminary in New York, and the International Rabbinical Assembly. The purpose of these podcasts is to regularly inform rabbis of the most current thinking in a wide variety of fields of Jewish studies. Let me begin. What, if any, is the legal basis for discrimination against Gentiles in the Talmud, and what is the ethical justification given to such a policy? To be sure, some of my students found this question to be offensive. They were deeply disturbed by the very fact of probing into Talmudic law and asking, for example, whether killing a Gentile is equal to killing a Jew. However, in face of the widely spoken book, Torat HaMelech, which permits under certain circumstances the killing of innocent Gentiles for the sake of saving a Jew, such a discussion is not only necessary but urgent. Why is it so hard to ask these questions? They seem to threaten the integrity of people raised to believe that Jewish observance meant, by definition, moral impeccability. Torat HaMelech is usually met with disbelief, and to prove how careful Judaism is about human life, one would bring up the famous Mishnah in Sanhedrin teaching how careful a witness should be in a capital punishment case. For this reason, man was created one and alone in the world to teach that whosoever destroys a single soul is regarded as though he destroyed a complete world, and whosoever saves a single soul is regarded as though he saved a complete world. However, as is also well known, the Mishnah in the Babylonian Talmud has a slightly different version, reading, "For this reason man was created alone to teach that whosoever destroys a single soul in Israel is regarded as though he destroyed a complete world," etc. There is no question that the first version is the original, but the second version attests to the instinctive response such a text emits in a Jewish reader. One first and foremost thinks about one's Jewish brethren. Moreover, elsewhere in Sanhedrin, the Mishnah teaches the following are innocent of a murder charge: one who intended to kill a beast but killed a man, or intended to kill a Gentile but killed an Israelite, or a miscarriage but killed a mature birth. Obviously, killing a Gentile, a Nochri, is not forbidden, or at least not punishable. This is not a mistake or an isolated halacha. Mishnah Sanhedrin lists the questions directed at the witnesses in a murder case, and one of them is, "Do you recognize him?" meaning the victim, and this becomes explicit in a Braita in the Yerushalmi. "Do you recognize him? Was he a Gentile or a Jew?" Hear it from the Memra of Rabbi Yochanan. If he was killed between Tveria and Tzipori, he must be Jewish. Thus, the Bavli's version of the Mishnah to teach that whosoever destroys a single soul in Israel is not a Babylonian invention, but seems to have its roots in Tanaitic times. Indeed, we can trace those roots back to a dispute between rabbis from the generation following the Bar Kokhba rebellion, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, that is reported in Tosefta Sanhedrin. If he intended to strike one person and he struck another, Rabbi Yehuda convicts, whereas Rabbi Shimon acquits. But Rabbi Yehuda admits that if he intended to kill a beast but killed a man, or a foreigner but killed an Israelite, or a miscarriage but killed a mature birth, he is innocent. it becomes clear that the Mishnah simply repeated Rabbi Shimon's ruling without attributing it to him, perhaps because Rabbi Yehuda admitted to it as well. Why did Rabbi Shimon rule that way? We're fortunate to have a Tanaitic Midrash, Mechilta of Rashbi to Exodus, which I believe to be the original setting in which that dispute took place. Exodus 21:14 reads, "When a man schemes against his fellow and kills him treacherously, you shall take him from my very altar to be put to death." The Mechilta expounds on the term man, ish, which the Torah uses referring to the killer, and re'ehu is fellow, referring to the victim. Man to exclude the minor, is fellow to exclude others, Gentiles, is fellow to exclude the ger toshav, resident alien, treacherously to exclude one who intends to strike one person and is struck another, that he is acquitted, the words of Rabbi Shimon, and then the Mechilta goes on to cite Rabbi Yehuda's opinion exactly as it is in the Tosefta. It becomes clear that the dispute was over the word treacherously, but there was an agreement between the Tanaim that Re'ehu, fellow, teaches to exclude Gentiles, which meant that a murder charge refers to Jews only. In the eyes of Rabbi Shimon, even a ger toshav, whom the Torah warned to protect as equal as a citizen, was meant to be excluded. Killing either one was not considered in his eyes a punishable crime. This formula, as fellow to exclude Gentiles, as fellow to exclude the resident alien, recurs in other midrashim, but they all belong to the school of Rabbi Akiva, and in each case the midrash excludes Gentiles from the legal protection of the Torah. Confirm my short article in the Faculty Forum of November 2010. The Midrashim from the school of Rabbi Ishmael, on the other hand, present entirely different teachings on Re'ehu, and in some cases they are directly opposed to the teaching of the school of Rabbi Akiva. Our case is an exception because the Mechilta of Rabbi Ishmael does repeat the formula of Rabbi Shimon, but then it cites the teaching of Isi ben Akiva, a son of the generation of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, not a son of Rabbi Akiva, who responds to that formula with a clear dislike. Man to exclude the minor, man to include others, Gentiles, his fellow to include the minor, his fellow to exclude others, Gentiles. Isi ben Akiva says, could it be that before the giving of the Torah we were warned about shedding blood, but after the giving of the Torah, instead of becoming stricter, they were relaxed? Rather, what they really said is that the killer is not guilty by human law, but his verdict stays with heaven. In this version, Rabbi Shimon's formula is even harsher, because here, if the tables are reversed, and a Gentile killed a Jew, he is guilty of murder, while if a Jew killed a Gentile, he is not guilty, which is a clear double standard. Isi ben Akiva was not happy with that ruling because in his eyes Lo Tirzach should add to the warning given in Genesis about bloodshed, not distract from it. It seems that after both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon agreed on it, the next generation, that of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, could not change that ruling, and all Rabbi Isi ben Akiva could do is say that it is still wrong to kill a Gentile, even if we cannot bring him to trial in a Jewish court for that crime. What was the moral justification given to this double standard? The texts quoted above are silent on that, and it may very well be that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi had no choice but follow the law passed down to him in unison. At least he managed to exclude from his Mishnah a much bolder statement made in Tosefta Avodah Zarah in a group of halachot concerning Gentiles living under Jewish law. The underlying principle was that even though Gentiles never received the Torah, they were still bound by the seven laws of Noah, and their transgression was to be punished by death by the sword. Idol worshipping, adultery, murder, and robbery were on top of the list, and Gentiles were suspicious a priori for all. Here is the law about murder and robbery. How about bloodshed? A Gentile killing a Gentile or a Gentile killing a Jew is liable of death penalty. A Jew killing a Gentile is exempt. In regard to robbery, gezel, if he stole, robbed, took a Gentile woman, eshet yifat tohar, etc., a Gentile to a Gentile or a Gentile to a Jew is liable of death penalty. A Jew to a Gentile is exempt. The prominent Tanaim mentioned in the Tosefta in regard to the Noahite laws are Rabbi Shimon and his son Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Shimon is also the author of a famous midrash about God trying in vain to convince Edom, Moab, and Ishmael to accept the Torah, because it was against their tradition to commit not to kill, have incest, or rob, respectively. Thus, all Gentiles were held suspicious about transgressing every law. This deep mistrust must have reflected the horrific events at the wake of the Bar Kokhba rebellion and seems to be the underlying sentiment governing these halachot. We do not hear dissenting opinions here, but a clue to an existing debate and mixed feelings among rabbis is found in a famous story told in both Talmudim and Baba Kama concerning robbery. Scholars were sent by the Roman government to examine Jewish law, and upon their return they expressed content with everything they studied, except for a few offensive rulings, including: a robbery from an Israelite is forbidden, while that of a Gentile is permitted. The Jewish answer was immediate. At that hour, Rabban Gamliel issued an edict, Gazar, forbidding robberies from Gentiles because of Chilul Hashem. This idea is repeated in the Tosefta as a formal law. He who robs a Gentile must return it to him. Robbing a Gentile is worse than robbing a Jew. However, the patriarch did not dare uproot the halacha concerning robbery, he just put a lid of Chilul Hashem on it, which kept the older allowance alive, as can be seen in cases of withholding wages of a Gentile or cheating in commerce. The same solution must have evolved in the case of killing Gentiles. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, like his contemporary Isi ben Akiva, forbade that. But if a Jew killed a Gentile, the Mishnah did not call for a murder trial. As for the school of Rabbi Ishmael, they never preached that Gentiles were punishable by Jews for violating the seven Noahite laws. On the contrary, Mechilta Dvarim says that although Gentiles are idol worshippers, they are saved from the death penalty as opposed to Jews, because they were promised by God to their father Noah not to be uprooted anymore. The Mishnah followed the Akivan school, but left out the Noahite laws. I want to believe that it expressed not just caution in public relations, but a middle ground in real practice as well. Thank you.